We're on Daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis.
Okay.
And we're up to Elameata, which is about two-thirds down from the Amud, and you'll take a look at Tosis Dibra Maschel Haka Mechin, which is the next to the last Tosis on the page, and you go up above that four lines, you'll see the word Li'atzma, and we're up to Elameat. Now, in order to appreciate this Gemara of Elameata, we will try to give a little bit of an introduction. And we're going to be learning a Mishnah in Masechta Tvul Yom. And we've seen this in the past. And based on this Mishnah, Rabbah is going to ask, or shall we say, there will be a kasha on Rab. Okay, so first I'll explain the Mishnah in Tvul Yom, and then we'll explain why this Mishnah is problematic according to Rab. And we'll review the sheet of Rab that we studied yesterday. So Mishnah says the following. A man has a chavis full of wine, it's a barrel, and he has a smaller utensil which is called lagin. And what he does is he dips the lagin into the larger utensil, the barrel called a chavis, and he's going to use and he's going to designate the wine in the lagin as what's called Trumas Maser. Now let's just go back to basics. Right, after you mafrish Truma, then you mafrish Maser. So right, you took off Truma, you're left with 98%. Now you take off 10% of the 98%, let's say 9.8, and you designate it for the Levi. The Levi is obligated in Trumas Maser, and until he takes the Trumas Maser, we have Tevel. Okay. Now, the problem is that this lagin, which we said was the smaller utensil, and he hasn't yet taken off Truma. This utensil is holding on to wine that's Tevel because it's got Maser in it before Hafrosh's Truma's Maser. And the problem with this lagin is that it's a Tvul Yom, which means that this particular utensil, which we call the lagin, had been contaminated with Tuma. And even if you took it to the mikveh, it still has a partial Tuma until Harif Shemesh, until the sun sets. So up until sunset, the status of this lagin is the following. A Tvul Yom passes Truma. So that if he wants to designate the wine that's in the lagin as Trumas Maser, he can't do so before Harif Shemesh. Because if he does so, then because the status of the lagin is that of a Tvul Yom, which passels Truma, he will passel the Truma, again in this case Trumas Maser, that's in the lagin. So the best that he could hope for is to make the following designation or declaration. He's going to say that after sunset, the truma will be chal in the lagin. Because with sunset, the lagin take on a full status of tara, and it will not passel as truma. Now, the Mishnah in Tful Yom addresses the following case. He wants to be mafrish the yayin inside the lagim as trumas maser, and therefore all the yayin that's left in the chavis will now become maser rishon, because again, from the maser rishon, he took out a lagin's worth of trumas maser. Once that truma is chal, then all the wine in the chavis is mutter. It's no longer tevel, because once the trumas maser is chal in the lagim, then the shame tevel in the chavis, in the larger barrel, is removed, because the trumas maser is chal. Okay. So he makes a declaration that the yayin in the lagin should be trumas maser li'achar shetechshach, after it gets dark. So that when the shame truma is chal on the lagin, at that moment, the lagin is no longer a tful yom, but it's tor legamre, with the end of the day, and it therefore will not convey tuma to the yayin that's in the lagin. So two things are going to happen simultaneously. Number one, the tara of the lagin is going to be complete with nightfall, because it's no longer tful yom, now we have harif shemesh. And in addition, the truma will be chal. And conceptually, we need that sequence, that first the lagin become tahar, and then the truma will be chal. Because if the lagin will not be tahar, they'll passel the truma. So he wants the chalos truma to be chal at the very split second that the night that of nightfall, when the tuma of tful yom will be removed, and the lagim now is completely tahor. Okay, so far so good. Now the Mishnah wants to know, what happens on Erev Shabbos if he wants the truma in the lagim to serve as an Erev Tchumen? That's the case in the Mishnah in Tful Yom. Now, you might ask me, is he a Kohen? Well, truth be told, that's irrelevant. Why? Because we paskin that Truma could be a valid Erev Tchumen even for a non-Kohen. The very fact that a Kohen is allowed to eat the Erev, that's sufficient in order to be Machshir the Erev. Okay. Now, let's try to understand the Sheet of Rabbah and explain why the Mishnah in Tful Yom is antithetical to Rabbah. Okay. Rabbah holds that Tchilas Yom Kona Eruv. So if you weren't here yesterday, I'll just give you a quick summary of what we discussed yesterday to understand Shitas Rabbah. Rabbah holds that the Eruv becomes valid at the beginning of the day of Shabbos, not the end of Friday, which you might argue that on Friday, at the beginning of Bein HaShemoshos, that's the Sof HaYom, but rather we have to wait until the end of Bein HaShemoshos, which we call Vade Laila, and that's called Tchilas HaYom Kona Eruv. So the Eruv will be Chal Tchilas HaYom. And yesterday, again, just a quick summary, we gained a tremendous benefit by employing the logic and the definition of Rabbah of Tchilas Hayom Kona Eruv, and that is that you could set up an Eruv on a Friday, which is Yontif, for Shabbos, even though we have a principle of Rabbah, which is Ein Yontif Mechin L'Shabbos, so you can't have Hachana on Yontif for Shabbos. But the answer is that although he puts down the Eruv on Yontif, on Friday, but nevertheless the Eruv is only operative B'tchilas Hayom. B'tchilas Hayom means the beginning of Shabbos. So it's only after the inception of Shabbos that the Eruv becomes Chal, it becomes activated. And therefore, that's not called a Hachana on Yontif for Shabbos. Again, the Gemara's, we didn't get to the next piece of Gemara. The Gemara's going to question all those premises, but right now, that's the assumption we're working with. Now, according to Rabbah, we have to find... Oh. So now, let's go back to the Mishnah in Tful Yom. So the Mishnah in Tful Yom says that if he designates the Lagan for Trumas Maser, and the Trumas Maser will be Chal after it gets dark, because that's when we remove the status of the Lagan as a Tful Yom, and therefore it achieves complete Tara, such that it would not possibly the Truma. So the Mishnah says that if he wants to set up this Lagim as an Erev Tavshilin, the Mishnah says that's not a valid Erev. Why isn't it a valid Erev? Because an Erev, in order to be valid, has to be edible at Bein HaShemashos. And in this case, during Bein HaShemashos, he's not allowed to drink the wine. Why? Because the wine will only become Truma, and the prohibition of Tevel will be lifted with Chashecha, when it gets dark. But during the period of Bein HaShemashos, that Eruv, which is the Lagin, is Aser Bachila, because the Trumas Maser will only be Chal with nightfall, L'chetechshach. So you can't be Ma'ariv with something that's not royal L'shtia, and the Chalos Truma is going to be postponed and delayed until the end of Bein HaShemashos, which is Laila, which is Chashecha. During Bein HaShemashos then, it's not Truma. And if it's not Truma, then it's Tevel. And the Erev is Possel. So the Gemara says, Elamiyata, if we accept the principle of Rabbah, that Tchilas Hayom is Kona Eruv, is Yarvo Bil Logim, we should be allowed on Erev Shabbos to be, to set up the Erev with this Logim. Why? Because the Eruv will only be Chal B'Tchilas Hayom. So if the Eruv will only take effect B'Tchilas Hayom, and again, let's not get confused. We have to keep always remember that Tchilas Hayom means Shabbos, means after Chashecha. So therefore, we should be allowed, we should permit him to be Ma'arev with the, right, the Maisa Rishon right now that's in the Lagim, even though the Lagim is a Tful Yom, because his Afrosha of Trumas Maser is going to be Chal with Chashecha. And that's exactly the moment of time when, according to Rabbah, he's Kona the Erev. So the Yayin, at the moment that it's going to be Kona the Erev, which is called Tchilas Hayom, and Chashecha at the end of Bein HaShemashos, is simultaneous, it's synchronized with the moment of Tahara, when the Lagim is no longer a Tful Yom, and therefore the Trumas Maser is Chal. Why does the Mishnah say that he cannot set up his Eruv with the Lagim? Unless you assume that Sofayom Kona Eruv, which means that the Eruv is Chal at the end of Friday, before Chashecha, before the status of the lagav as a tefillah is removed, and therefore before the truma could be chal, and therefore the lagav is tevel. So whether or not the lagav could serve as an eruv depends upon whether the lagav is tevel or truma, and that itself should depend upon whether tchilas hayom kona eruv or sof hayom kona eruv. Let's go over it one more time. If I hold sof hayom kona eruv, I understand very well why he's excluded from being ma'ariv with the lagim, because the chal shem truma will only be chal after chashecha, and the eruv is kone during tchila sof yom shishi, which means at the beginning of bein hashmoshes. At that point in time, the truma cannot be chal, so that the truma is now tevel. But if I hold that tchila sayom kone eruv, meaning the Erev is not Chal until the beginning of Shabbos, which means with Chashecha, then I have no problem, because at that very moment the Truma becomes Truma. The status of the Lagav as a Tvul Yom is completely Paka, and it has Tahora, it's Tahora Legamre, so therefore it's not going to pass the Truma. The Truma is now Truma Tahora, and at that very moment, the Erev is going to be Chal. So the Gemara says, no, I don't have a problem here. Why? Be'inon suda ru'uya mibodyom v'lecha. That there are two different halachas, the Gemara says. Again, you have to be a brisker lofted to read this Gemara. I don't know before Reb Chaim how you'd read this Gemara. I don't know. But the Gemara is saying that there are two different halachas here. There's one halacha of Rabba, at what moment in time is the Erev Chal? There's another halacha of Bein HaShmoshos, that at Bein HaShmoshos, when you put down the Erev has to be Mazon, which is Roy, before Shabbos, on Erev Shabbos, for Seuda. Now the Yayin in the Lagin could no way, no how be edible on Erev Shabbos, because he hasn't yet been mafrish Trumas Masa. The Trumas Masa will only be Chal on Shabbos itself, so to speak, meaning after Chashecha. But already on Erev Shabbos, Mibod Yom, I need a Suda Ruya in order for this Erev to be Chal. So again, it's like the Maisa and the Chalos, meaning the Maisa is to put down a Suda, and the chalos of the Erev is postponed, according to Rabbah, until Tchilas Hayom, meaning till after Chashecha. So that as far as setting up an Erev which will be chal on Truma, I fulfilled my requirements. But there's another requirement, another condition for the Erev to be chal, and that is that before Shabbos, I put down an Erev, we'll call it the Maisa Anochas HaErev, or the designation of the Erev, for a Seuda Ru'uya. And if I don't have a Seuda Ru'uya, then the Erev is not Chal. And we've had discussions about this in the past. I think I once mentioned to you an insight of Elchanan Wasserman with a kasha from a Gemara about Shechita and about Kisui Adam. We're not going to go through this now. But again, there are certain conditions that are not theoretical and conceptual, but that are tachlis, you know, they are practical and real and material. And that is a Suda Ruya. Meaning when you set up the Eruv, I don't care when it's going to be Chal, and when you have set up your Kinyan Shvisa that will give you another 2,000 Amma outside the Tchum, beyond the Tchum, that's not relevant to me. I want to know what's the status of this Mazon Shtei Sudos. And that must be determined on Erev Shabbos, during the period of Bein HaShmoshos. And in this particular case, since the Truma will not be Chal until after Bein HaShmoshos, meaning until Chashecha, and that's indeed the moment that the Erev will be Chal, but I need a Suda Ra'uya Mibodyom, and since it's not Truma, it's therefore Tevel. So the Gemara says the following. I'm not sure that I accept this premise that you need a Suda Ru'uya Mibodyom. Why? El Hadisnan. Our Mishnah back here on Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph says, Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Yontif HaSomach L'Shabbos Bein Milfaneh Bein L'Achreah Mi'arif Adam Shnei Eruvim. Imagine the case where a person on Erev Yontif, like Yontif is on a Friday, so on Erev Yontif, Thursday afternoon, towards the end of the day, he sets up two Erevim. He puts one Erev, 2,000 Amah, towards the east of the city, and that's going to be functional to be Matir, to be Kodesh Shvisa and Matir, another 2,000 Amah outside the east of the city on Yom Rishon, meaning on Friday, which is Yontif. And then he sets up another Eruv on the western side on Thursday, meaning Erev Yontif, Erev Yontif. And according to Rabbi Eliezer, that second Eruv will be Konish Visa for him on the Tzad Amarov, giving him another 2,000 Amah beyond that Eruv on the western side for tomorrow, meaning for Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, "Va'be'inon sudaruya mibojom ve'leka." We need that going into Bein Hashmashos, we have to have the Erev has to be comprised of a sudaruya. That's called sudaruya mibojom. That's what we just established now. Now, since Yom Rishon, he could not go out of his Eruv, right? He is limited to the Eruv. There's no way on Yom Rishon, which is again a Friday, that he can have access to this Eruv. So on Yom Rishon, when he puts down the Eruv, that Eruv, which is designated for Yom Sheni, is not Roilo. And why isn't it Roilo? Because it's beyond his Tchum. He set up his Tchum on the eastern side. Right at the end of let's say he goes all the way out to the Tchum. And then he puts an Erev that's going to give him another additional 2,000 Amah to the east. So he's allowed to walk 2,000 Amahs back to his Erev. And then he can travel within the city, let's say. But he can't go beyond the limits of the city. Now, he set up his Eruv on that Thursday afternoon for Shabbos on the outskirts of the city to the west. He doesn't have a possibility of eating that Muslim Shtei Sudos because he's not allowed to even have access to that because he was going to Shvisa beyond the limit of the city to the east. He has no way of getting to the west. So the Gemara says, Misa, again, keep in mind, I mean, this is not relevant to us now, but just for the sake of Chazara, that Rabbi Eliezer's two Eruvim on Erev Yontif is based on Shtei Kedushos Hein, if you remember our whole discussion. So Gemara answers, Misa, Vista Manech Le Besof Alpayim Amalekan, U Besof Alpayim Amalekan, you're assuming that the case in the Mishnah is where he was marchik the two Erevin Alpayim Amah from both ends of the city, and therefore he has no access on Thursday, meaning going into Yontif, to the Erev that's 2,000 Amah on the other side of the city. Lo, no, that's not the case, but rather the Manach Le Besof Elef Amah Lekan Usof Elif Amalekan. On these 2 days, he just wants to have the ability to walk 3,000 Amah. So he wants to get an extra 1,000 Amah beyond the Tchum. So he's Marchik from the city on each of these 2 days, only 1,000 Amah. Not 2,000 Amah, but 1,000 Amah on each side. So therefore, he would be allowed to have access to the Eruv on the other side. Why? Hutulo lelech elef ad ha'eruv. Ume'ever le'eruv, and beyond the Eruv, another 2,000 Amah. So he's giving himself another 2,000 Amah beyond the Eruv. So what's the distance between the two Eruvin? There's no distance that's greater than Alpayim Amo, right? And we don't consider the area of the city itself. We're talking about outside the limits of the city. So therefore, Yom Rishon, he could go back to the Eruv of Yom Sheni, and he could have access to it. Why? Because he's got 1,000 Amma outside the city. He can go into the city, plus he gets now an additional access to the Eruv on the other side of the city, on the western side of the city, which is going to give him another 1,000 Amma. So when you talk about the distance between the two Eruv, and if you discount the city itself, it's going to be 2,000 Amma. And therefore, the Eruv of the first day is... I'm sorry, the person who sets up the Eruv on the first day still has access to the Eruv of the second day, because the distance between the two Eruvin is up to, but not beyond, 2,000 Amma. So you can go 1,000 Amma to the city, and he gets another 1,000 Amma beyond the city to the west. On the east, he's going to get himself 1,000 Amma beyond the city limits to the east. He comes into the city and he gets himself 1,000 Amma on the west, which is going to give him an Erev on the west for the second day, meaning for Shabbos. But the distance between the two Erevin is less than or equal to 2,000 Amma. Now, let's go back to Rabbah. Rabbah said that there's an Isur Achana of Yontif to Shabbos, and therefore he cannot set up an Eruv on Yontif for Shabbos, because that would be a preparation for Shabbos on Yontif. So Abai comes back and he asks him, Abai is the one who's firing all these kashas to Rabbah, Ella, if you're going to tell me that Beitza Shenolda Bezeh is Asura Bezeh, so you had an egg that was laid on Friday, which was Yontif, and you're not allowed to eat it neither on Yontif nor tomorrow on Shabbos, because Yontif is preparing for Shabbos, and we're not allowed to enjoy something on Shabbos that we've prepared on Yontif. Again, if it was Chol, let's say on a normal Shabbos, the Beitza was born, was laid on a Friday. Well, let's say the Yontif was on a Tuesday and the egg was laid on Monday. In that case, we don't need a Hachana of Yontif for Yontif or Hachana on Shabbos for Shabbos. But what we have to exclude is Hachana from Yontif to Shabbos or from Shabbos to Yontif. That's the sheet of Rabbah in Hachana. And therefore, to set up an Eruv on Friday, which is Yontif, for Shabbos, that's prohibited, because then Yontif would be preparing for Shabbos. Ha d'yomar Rav Yehuda. Again, in the case where Shabbos and Yontif are contiguous, so you have 48 hours of Kedushas Hayom. And remember, we had the sugya of Erev Biraglov, meaning that if on Thursday afternoon, when he wants to set up his Eruv for Yontif, he has two options. He can either set up a pas, which he can send with a shliach, or he could personally come to that Mokom Shvisa, where he wants to set up his Eruv, and that's called Halicha Baraglov. And he doesn't need a pas. Now, he walked out to that spot on Erev Yontif, which is Thursday afternoon, and Rabbi Yehuda insists that tomorrow, on Friday, he's going to have to walk back to set up his Erev for Shabbos. That's case number one. That's called Erev Baraglov Liyom Rishon, Ma'ariv Baraglov Liyom Sheni. Then we have another case. Erev Bepas Biyom Rishon, Ma'ariv Bepas Biyom Sheni. So that means that if he set up his Erev on Thursday for Yontif with a pas, then after Chashecha, on that Thursday, when it became Thursday, meaning when it became Friday, I meant to say, and now after nightfall it's Yontif, he takes the pas, which he knows was there during Bein HaShemashos, and he brings it back, and he goes back a second time on Friday and sets up that same pas to serve as an Eruv for the second day, which, again, in our case is Shabbos, it could also be Yontif if Yontif is on a Sunday. So now the question is, how do we reconcile this statement of Rabbi Yehuda with Rabbah? Rabbah says that you cannot set up an Eruv on Yontif for Shabbos because that's a violation of Hachana, because then the Hachana of Yontif is going to allow you to carry on Shabbos. And that, according to Rabbah, is prohibited. Here, in this case of Rabbi Yehuda, he now, in the case of Halicha, let's take the case of Halicha, correct? So, on the first day, he set up his Kinyan Shvisa through Halicha. That's called Erev Baragel. Now, on the second day, before Bein HaShemashas, obviously, going into Shabbos, so you're now on Friday afternoon, he again walks out to the place where he wants to be Kona Shvisa, and he's Ma'ariv Baraglav. That itself is a Hachana for Shabbos. And when did it take place? On Yontif. How is Rabbah going to justify setting up an Erev on Yontif for Shabbos? And Rabbi Yehuda explicitly allows that. And the Halicha Baraglav on Yom Sheni Erev Yom Sheni will be Kona Shvisa for Shabbos. And that's on Yontif itself. I mean, after Shabbos, it's too late. You can't be Ma'ariv on Shabbos. You have to be Ma'ariv before Shabbos. Now, in this Gemara and the Kasha Abaye, we have to point out the following. That, paradoxically, Abaye's Kasha is from the case of Ma'ariv Baraglav. And that's what Rashi says here, that Ma'ariv Baraglav B'Sheni becomes a violation of Hachana on Yontif Shabbos. And why is that? Because through Raglav, he's being Kona Shvisa. And that Kinyan is already a Hachana. Very interesting. I mean, the fact that a Kinyan is a Hachana, I don't know. I mean, this is not really a Kinyan. This is not a valid... I mean, he's not actually signing a shtar off here. He doesn't acquire ownership over the tree or the ground that he steps on. But it's considered a Hachana. And why is that? So Rashi says, because when he is Ma'ariv Baraglav, he has to make a declaration. He has to say the magical words, I am Kona Shvisa, right here. I mean, just because he's walking and he stops at some point and he mentally thinks he wants to be Kona Shvisa, apparently Rashi holds that's not enough. To set up an Erev, you have to make a declaration. So there's Halicha Baraglav with a declaration. What is that declaration? I am being Kona Shvisa. The declaration itself constitutes, says Rashi, an act of Hachana. That's what Abai is objecting to. How could it be, according to Rabbah, who says that setting up an Erev on Yontif for Shabbos is prohibited because of Hachana, how then could Rabbi Yehuda allow you to be Ma'ariv Baraglav on Friday, which is Yontif, for the sake of Shabbos, says Rashi, because he has to declare that I am being Kona Shvisa, and once he makes that declaration, that itself is a Maisa Achana. So it's not the Halicha Baraglav, which is itself a Kinyan Shvisa. That Kinyan Shvisa is, shall we say, abstract. It's not a real Kinyan. I mean, he can't sell any ground over here. But when he makes the declaration, I hereby have been Kona Shvisa with my stepping on this area, that declaration itself makes it into a Kinyan and a hachan. What does Rashi want to gain? That Abai doesn't ask from the second case of Rabbi Yehuda, where he was ma'ariv v'pas. Because in the case where he was ma'ariv v'pas, he's kona shvisa without an amira. The only time that you require amira for an eruv is only when he's kona v'ragla. But if he's kona v'pas, then he no longer there's no requirement of amira. So what are you left with? You're left with the fact that he was kona shvisa. That's an abstract kinyan, which is not a real, tangible, choshen mishpat, a legal kinyan. It's just a kinyan ilchas eruv, and that would not constitute a hachana. And Abaye would have no leg to stand on to object to Abaye. So that eruv bepas on Friday for Shabbos, even though that Friday is Yontif, is not problematic. The problematic case is eruv beraglov, because eruv beraglov, says Rashi, requires an accompaniment of a statement and a declaration. Hineni kone shvisa b'makom zeh. And that already upgrades the status of halicha beraglov, of eruv beraglov, to the status of a hachana. It's a kinyan b'peh, the amira b'peh. So the Rashba wants to understand, why is it that when he's ma'arev beraglov, he has to say shvisasi b'makom zeh, whereas in the case of ma'arev b'pas, he doesn't need any statement. So let me read to you the explanation of the Rashba. He says, Hapas ena holechas, mi'atzma ela al yidei ha'adam. Okay, I mean, that I understand. I mean, the bread doesn't move on its own. So the bread is being carried by a person. But, okay, that's the opening line in the Rashba. Ve'adam notla biyom arishon li'achar she'iruv ba, on Thursday afternoon, going into Yontif, he sets up his pas as an eruv, and then he waits till after chashecha, and then he takes his pas. Why is he taking his pas? Because, says the Rashba, quote, Daito lach zero lemachras. His intention is to bring the pas back tomorrow, on Friday afternoon, li oso moko, to the same spot, uli arav bo l'sheni, to set up his eruv for the second day. Mishum hachi, therefore, kisha chozer lemachras, umenicha ba oso mokom, L'tzarech HaShabbos is eino ela chozer l'makom shvisaso shahaya esmo v'eino tzarech l'amira klum. So the Rashba says that there really is no difference between Erev B'pas and Erev B'raglov. In both cases, you need an amira. You have to make the declaration shvisasi b'makom zeh. However, the exception to the rule is going to be Erev B'pas B'sheni with the same pas that he was Ma'ariv B'rishon. Because when he was Ma'ariv B'rishon, he already made that declaration, and he already was Kona Shvisa. And when he takes the pas after Chashecha, his mindset is to bring it back tomorrow, 24 hours later, or 24 hours minus Bein HaShemoshes, right? And place it in the same exact location where he was Kona Shvisa yesterday. Now he wants to be Kona Shvisa for Shabbos. Says the Rashba, in such a case, he's not creating a brand new Kinyan Shvisa, but rather, he's Menicha Ba'osa Mokom, V'rak Chozer L'Mokom Shvisasa. Again, I don't know, maybe I'm reading too much into the Rashba, but I think when he says Chozer l'makom shvisaso, it means that is his makom shvisa even right now. Again, he wants to now set it up as Makom Shvisa for tomorrow, but it is his Makom Shvisa, Basheru Shah, meaning, you know, as the clock ticks right now, that is his Makom Shvisa, because it's Friday before Bein HaShemoshos. And he was Kodesh Shvisa in that Makom, with that pass, 24 hours earlier, and it's still Yontif, and therefore he doesn't need any sort of Amira of quote-unquote Shvisa b'mkomo. So it's not that Rashi was saying that there's a fundamental difference between Erev Baraglov, which requires a declaration of Shvisasi b'mkomi as an Amira, as opposed to Erev Bapas that doesn't require Amira. The Rashba says that Rashi admits that you need an Amira of Shvisasi b'mkomi even for an Erev Bapas. But in this particular case, where he takes the pass back to the exact same location, and when he removed it, he had in mind to bring it back to the same site location. And that location, after he made his declaration on Thursday afternoon going into Yom Rishon, Shvisasi b'mkomi, that declaration is Kone Shvisa for him, and he's just going back to the Makom Shvisasa. And all he needs now is to put the pas back again in that place, so that he reestablishes, or maybe we should say it better, that he extends his Makom Shvisa for another 24 hours. In that case, we could drop the requirement of the Amira Shvisasi b'mkomi. Avol kishema arev beraglov ein eruvo b'sheni kechozil l'makom shvisasi me'esmo. So the Rashba is asking himself, implying a question. Why not say the same thing in the case of Erev Baraglov, that when he comes back on Erev Shabbos Baraglov, he is simply going back to his Makom Shvisa of yesterday and drop the requirement to the Amira? Nay, mikevon sha'adam holech me'atzmo. It's not like the case of Pas. A Pas is, it doesn't have feet, but here he has feet. Is therefore we have a lacha called Akiras Raglayim. Again, this is all the Rashba. I mean, you know, the Rashba's mom is creating a whole. He says, "Kisha oker ragla biyomar rishon, mi makom eruvo, is batel maisa eruvo shel arishon." In the case of the pass, he's just facilitating the replacement of the pass back to its original makom. So, in a certain sense, that pass is related to the Makom Shvisa, where he was Kone Shvisa on Thursday going into Yom Rishon. Now, the Makom Shvisa is sort of like inherent in the Pas, and all he has to do is bring back the Pas. So he's replacing his original Maisa Eruv, so to speak. Masha Enkin, in the case of Ma'arev Baraglov, there, what is the Eruv? The Eruv is just the Raglayim, wherever the Raglayim are. So now you're going to tell me, well, he went back to the same place? No. Says the Rashba, the moment he leaves that place, there's nothing left. You know, there's no Shirayim, so to speak, of his Eruv. His Eruv was Baraglov, and now he was Oker Es Raglov. And therefore, says the Rashba, Ein Eruv B'Sheni, Chozer Kichozer V'mkomo, L'makom shvisasa me'esmo, and therefore ha'erev batel u'maisa eruvo harishon batel v'tzarech lo lomar shuv shvisasi b'mkomi. He needs an amir. So Rabosei, again, you know, we can spend a lot of time here on this Rashba, and I'm sure it would be very valuable, but the bottom line for our purposes is that the Rashba is embellishing what we saw in Rashi, that Abai's question of a Maisa Achana is based, says Rashi, on the Amira of Shvisasi b'mkomi, and that Amira, says Rashi, is only necessary in the case of Ma'ariv Baraglov, not in the case of Ma'ariv B'pas. The Rashba creates a very sophisticated conceptual structure to try to justify why is it that in the case of Ma'ariv B'pas, we drop the requirement of quote-unquote, the Amira Shvisasi b'mkomi, whereas in the case of Ma'arid Baraglov, we will always require Shvisasi Bimkomi. But after all is said and done, it's the Amira, says Rashi, of Shvisasi Bimkomi that generates a violation of Hachana. Meaning, that clinches a Hachana of Yontif for Shabbos, because on Yontif itself, going into Beit HaShemashos, he's declaring Shvisasi Bimkomi, which means I'm making a Kinyan Shvisa. And that declaration that I'm being Kona Shvisa upgrades the Eruv from the status of some sort of abstract, ephemeral, you know, intangible Kinyan, which would not qualify as a Hachana, to a concrete Amira. It's almost like, you know, this reminds me of the Sugya of, what's it called? Dibur Kemaisa Dami. I'm not quoting the exact language, right? There are three lavim that you can get malchus for, even though they're only... Oh, it's called Bidiburo Ka'avid Maisa. That's the Gemara. You'll have it all over the place. Maybe we'll have it here in Masech Erevin too, I don't know. Bidiburo Ka'avid Maisa. That the Dibur is considered like a Maisa, and the Dibur now concretizes his Kinyan and upgrades it to the status of Hachana, and therefore we have a problem with squaring Rabbi Yehuda with Rabbah, because Rabbah holds that setting up an Eruv is a Hachana, and setting up an Eruv on Yontif for Shabbos is a problem because Ein Yontif Mechin L'Shabbos, and yet Rabbi Yehuda validates the Eruv on the second day, which is Yontif, for Shabbos, in the case of Ma'ariv Baraglov. So he's going to be Ma'ariv Baraglov on Yontif itself for the second day. How do we square that with Rabba Amar Leh? So Rabba responds, Mi Savis di Azil vi Amar Midi, di Azil vi Shosik vi Yosiv. Abaye, you laid down a premise here when you asked your kash, and I reject that premise. You think that on Yontif, when he goes out to, from his house to the Makom Shvisa to establish with his raglayim an eruv, it's absolutely critical that he declare shvisasi bimkomi. Says Rabba, that's not so. I disagree with you. I mean, Rabba was Abai's rebbe, so he has a right to disagree with this Talmud. And he says no. He sits down in that place, or he walks over to that place, b'shtika, and he's kona shvisa. He doesn't have to say a word. And that's not called a hachon. So in other words, whereas Abaye insists that being kona shvisa requires an amira, Rabba says that a mental decision is sufficient. And the nafka mina is going to be, can you set up an eruv on, for the sake of the second day, on Yontif, meaning for the sake of Shabbos on Yontif? Is it called a Hachana? Is it not called a Hachana? And that depends upon whether the Eruv and its validity requires a Dibur Bepeh when he declares Shvisasi Bimkomi, that's a Baye. Whereas Rava says it's enough to have a mental decision that he wants to be Kona Shvisa. And the Ritva here is quoted as saying that this machlokes is on every single Shabbos, every single Yontif. He's Ma'ariv Baraglov. And we paskin here, La Locha in Shulchan Aruch, Siman Tov Tes Zion, based on this Ritva that he's Shoa B'makom Shvisoso, Bein HaShemoshes, Ein Tzorech Lomar Klum. He doesn't have to make any declaration. It's Bein Adam. It's Bein Adam Li Atzmo. By the way, I'm just going to add another sentence here, which may or may not be correct. I would understand why Ma'ariv Baraglov could not possibly be achieved by a shliach. Ma'ariv Baraglov is an option in a case where he doesn't have a pass, and he cannot therefore send it with a shliach, but then he has to do it himself. Because we have a principle that dvarim shebelev lo avi dvarim, as far as shlichus is concerned, right? A shliach has to be a shliach for a maisa. So if I give him a pass and I tell him put that in the pass, you know, at the end of 2,000 amma, then he could be my shliach, and he's got to be a bar shliach. But if on the other hand we're talking about a shehiyah b'makom with a mental decision and ein tzach lomar klum, and all we need is machshavas alev, then that would not lend itself to shlichus. But you know what? I'm thinking about it a second time around, and probably what I just said to you is wrong, because even according to Abaye, halicha baraglov, meaning erev baraglov, has to require your own kinyan shvisa. You cannot send a shliach, even though there's an amira. So what I said to you is wrong, because mili lo memsu l'shlichus, even an amira does not lend itself to shlichus. Okay. Now, there's another chiddush here in the Rashba. I'm afraid to share this with you. He wants to suggest that this business, that he's allowed on Yontif to go out and set up his Erev Baraglov, and that's not a violation of Hachana, that only applies in a case where he set up his Eruv on Erev Yontif for Yontif. But let's say he decided on Erev Yontif, he doesn't have to go Chutz L'Tchum. He's very happy to remain local on Yontif. So that now on Erev Yontif, on Thursday afternoon, he simply sets up his Eruv for Shabbos. Now, I'm sorry. Scratch that. So on Erev Yontif, he does nothing. And on Yontif in the afternoon, meaning Friday afternoon, he does Alicha Baraglov to set up an Eruv for Shabbos. Says the Rashba, that's certainly awesome. Why? Because what was Rabba's saving point over here? That you don't need an Amira. That machshava alone, in the case of Erev Baraglov, is sufficient. That's not called a hachana, because the hachana, as we said before, is the amira of Yeishvi Sasi Bimkomi. That makes sense, says the Rashba, if he had an Erev that he set up on Thursday for the first day, meaning for Yontif. So he was Erev Baraglov, and he declared Harizan Makom Shvi Sasi on Erev Yontif. Now, on Yontif itself, you could say that he doesn't need an Amira according to Rabba, and therefore all he needs is Alicha Baraglov. And if that be the case, that's not called Achana because he doesn't have an Amira. But let's say Lu Yitzuyer, he did not set up an Erev on Erev Yontif. So he wasn't Kona Shvisa in any place on Erev Yontif. He's in the city like all the other Bnei Ha'ir. Now on Erev Shabbos, he wants to do Alicha. Here, even Rabba would agree that the mental assignment would not be sufficient. He needs a declaration, and hence that would be also B'tor Sachon. Again, Rabba will say, this is very profound. I'm just mentioning. The Gemara says that this Shita of Rabba, that you can be Ma'ar Baragla B'shtika. Let's see if everybody agrees with it. Keman L'chora, this reflects the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan Ben Nuri, Di Omar, Cheftze Hefker Kodim Shvisa. Right, this is a sugya we didn't get up to. That if a person sleeps on Erev Shabbos on the road. He's on the road Erev Shabbos, let's say outside his city limits, and he goes to sleep, and he wakes up, and lo and behold, it's already Shabbos. It's after nightfall. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, is he's Kodesh Visabim Komo, Shalomi Daito. He does not have an awareness of being Kodesh Visa because he's asleep, says Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, but he's asleep in a certain makom, and even without any awareness whatsoever, he certainly had no declaration that he wants to be Kone Shvisa, he was asleep. He was Kone Shvisa during his sleep. And that's based on a principle called Heftze Hefker Konim Shvisa, which is Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's Shita. What's Heftze Hefker? Right, every object on the face of the earth has to be Kone Shvisa. Where is it located? At the outset on Shabbos. Wherever it's located, then you're allowed to carry it up to a circumference of 2,000 amah, not beyond. What about something of hefker? Normally, if I possess an object, so that now you can ask me, where is this object located on Erev Shabbos Bein HaShemashos? But if it's an ownerless object, so which das is going to set up a Kinyan Shvisa vis-a-vis this Kli, such that now if I want to take this Kli into my Tchum, but it's outside the Tchum in which the Kli was Kone Shvisa on Erev Shabbos, I'm not allowed to do that. No one had any Kavana for Kniya Shvisa because nobody owns this object. It's ownerless. Is the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, you can have a Kinyan Eruv to be Kone Shvisa even in absolute silence without any sort of declaration. And it's almost like a Kal V'chomer, because if Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri holds that Heftze Hefker or Kone Shvisa when there's no owner of the object, so there's no one who would consciously be Kone Shvisa on behalf of this Kli, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri took it a step further, and he said, well, in a case of an Adam, when he goes to sleep on Erev Shabbos, he doesn't have any awareness of being Kone Shvisa, but at least he's capable of an awareness. His situation is even better than that of a Kli, because a Kli has no awareness, there's no kavan of any person. At least this person had in mind to go to sleep. The Chachamim reject Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. They hold Ein HaYoshein Kone Shvisa. They also hold that Ein Chefte Hefker Konim Shvisa is therefore, in the case of Ma'ari Baraglov, the Chachamim would certainly require a declaration of Shvisa Sibim Komi. Now, it's at this point in the Gemara thinks that if you need Kavana to be Konim Shvisa, then you have to objectify that Kavana by making an absolute declaration. If you don't need Kavana, which would be the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, that a Yashin is Kone Shvisa, or for example, Heftze Hefker a Kone Shvisa, without any Kavana whatsoever, then for sure, there are ways of objectifying the Kinyan Shvisa even without any sort of Kavana, and certainly without any sort of Amira. And that would be the shoulders upon which Rabbah could be standing upon. But if, on the other hand, you go with the Shita of the Chachamim of Yochanan ben Nuri, who insists that a Yoshin is not Kone Shvisa, Heftze Hefker are not Konim Shvisa, we need an awareness, then that awareness to be Kone Shvisa has to be upgraded to the next level and require an Amira against Rabbah. So Gemara says, no, and with this we'll conclude, Afilu Temer Rabbanon, I can actually reconcile Rabbah even with the Chachamim that reject Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. Ad kan lo pligi Rabbanan al leid Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri ela b'yoshein d'lo motzi omar. He doesn't even have the potential of making an Amir, which means he doesn't have kavana whatsoever to be Kone Shvisa. He fell asleep, he was exhausted, and he wakes up and now it's Shabbos. He had no awareness of being Kone Shvisa, and that means he doesn't even have the capacity to make an Amir. Aval b'ne'ar, but let's say a person is awake and he has intention, a mental decision that he wants to be Kone Shvisa, and he boil a memar Matzi Lememer. If he'd want to make this statement in this declaration, he could do so. He's awake. Is Afagavdalo Omar Kimandi Omar Dami. All we need in order to establish the Kinyan Shvisa is his mental decision to be Kona Shvisa. Why? Because he's Niyar. And a Niyar, a person who's awake, is Kona Shvisa even in the absence of a declaration of Shvisasi Bimkomi. Let me just read a note over here. As far as Kalim, Sheishlam Bailim, Shvisasam Kishvisas Bailim. That's a Mishnah in Beitz, Abahem of Akim Kiraglia Bailim. But Hefte Hefker, Elam Bailim, is the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Yochim and Nuri, that Konish Visabim Komon and Mutal Talfam Ad Alpayim Amal Chol Ruach. Hatam, Shemochiha Gemara. She'ein tzorech amira me'adin shel cheftzei hefker v'lo me'adin amafurish b'mishnah shayoshein kona shvisoso. So why didn't the Gemara just simply quote the halacha that yoshein is kona shvisoso? Obviously you don't need an amira. Why do you have to add this discussion about cheftzei hefker? Mishum she'im ha'isa Gemara mochicha me'adin shel hayoshein hoya efshol lidcho shel yolim tzorech lom shvisoso m'komi af ledas Rabbi Yochum enui rak b'yoshein. They lifted that requirement of Shvisasi Mekomi and Yashin Ein Tzarech Lomim Mishum Shem Haya Niyar Haya Omer. We can assume it's for his benefit. Had he been awake, he would certainly make that declaration. He's honest now because he's asleep and he cannot say it, but it's considered as if he said it. But we do require an Amira. But he proves it from the din of Cheftzei Hefker Konim Shvisa Mekomon. You don't need an Amira at all. Now, what's the dimyon between Cheftzei Hefker to the case of Ma'arev B'Shtika? Halokan Tzorech Das. That you need a Machshava Belibo that he wants to be Kodesh Shvisa, but Cheftzei Hefker Ein Lehem Das. So, these are not two analogous dinim. The Gemara later on in Daf Mem Hayamid Beis explains that the din of Cheftzei Hefker depends upon the Machlokas Chachomim Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, and according to the Chachomim, Mutal Etaltalam Kemo Shvisoso Shel Harishon Shezocha Bahen, so that the Kinyan Shvisa would depend upon the first person who acquires possession over the Hefker. Now, Hayoshein Eini Yochel Adaber, and he doesn't have Das to be Miskavin to be Kona Shvisa. Therefore, he's not Kona Shvisa. That's according to the Shita of the Chacham. So let's just make a note of where we got up to here. We're on Daf Lamed Ches Amid Beis, three lines up from the bottom. Omalei Rabba Bar Rav Chanin Labayeh.